Are you looking to make some change this year in your business and maybe your life? If you are, then maybe we should have a chat. You can head on over to speaktopete.com and book in a chat with me, and we'll see if we're a right fit. Usually is around improving your communication, improving your process management, and improving your accountability within your business so that we can take away some of the frustration and give you back more freedom. Isn't that why you got into business in the first place? So head on over to speaktopete.com and let's have a chat. Excited to have Josh Huber on the podcast this week. He is a wealth of knowledge and a really interesting family owner business. So him and his brothers own a multi-generational shoe chain. They also import and they have a wholesale division for brands. And they have so many different things on the go. And Josh's main task is he's got to lead this whole thing and make sure that everything is running properly, not only for today, but for tomorrow as well. And that's the whole conversation that we're going to have here, all wrapping around the CPA, as often we talk about better communication, better process management, more accountability within your business. We're going to see how Josh has overlaid that in his business in the past in order to go from almost 2.5 times growth since 2019, as far as the amount of doors that they have, and adding in this wholesale division and continued growth planned down in the future for him and his family business, and lots of interesting things along the way there too. So we're going to dig right into it here with Josh Huber. Josh, welcome to the Business Owner Breakthrough. It's great to have you here on the show today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me too, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we met in Austin at the Running Experience conference not too long ago. And I mean, I think we've met in the past at a National Shoe Retailers Association event. We're both members over there too. But, you know, had a chance to be on a panel together and talking about some different things. And I thought it'd be great to have you on the show. You guys have done so well with all of your businesses. And why don't you just give a sort of a 30-second overview or a minute overview, Josh, of what it is that you do, your business. I know you've got a few different businesses and how that all links in together.
Yeah. So we have three businesses. My grandparents started the main business, which is our retail shoe stores here in the state of Oregon. And it's called Shoe Mill. That was my grandpa's, you know, idea for a name. He had a business partner who was from Montana, always wanted to have a shoe mill. And so my grandpa just thought, well, okay, fine, I'll go with that name. And so him and my grandma in there, they were in their 50s when they started it. She was a nurse and he was a retail dog and shoe dog. And so they started the business with that name. Eventually, he bought that person out. And my dad and aunt were the second generation. My brothers and I are the third generation. And in 2019, we had 6 stores. And since then, we're now at 14 stores. We also have a wholesale distribution where we distribute to Australian footwear brands, and which that's my chief role right now is pioneering that division. And then our third division is a third-party warehousing for other small businesses that need the help. And actually, funny enough, right before getting on this call, I was talking to somebody who needs some help going, my holiday was great. I think I have momentum here. I really need a third-party warehouse because I can't handle shipping all this stuff out anymore. So those are the three things that we do as a family business.
Awesome. Awesome. And you guys all sort of have your own accountabilities within that framework and everything. We'll talk, I mean, a lot of what we talk about here on the Business Owner Breakthrough is all around the CPA, you know, enhancing your communication, enhancing your process management, and enhancing your accountability. And as we're recording this, you know, we've just come into 2024 here. And looking back over the last year, Josh, with all of the things that you do, what would you consider your biggest win or maybe the thing that you're most proud of over the last year that's happened for you?
We paid off a pretty big debt from what part of our growth came through acquisition. And so there was a note to pay off. And we paid that off and we're still profitable. And our inventory level has never been lower, which when I was buying, that inventory level was really high. I learned.
That's why we have professionals.
Exactly. That's right. Because I always thought, hey, you can't have an increase without being overbought. But I pushed the limits on that. So my head of buying has done a great job of getting our inventory in line. And we can't. So I'm really proud of the fact that we were profitable because everybody worked together to make it that way. You know, it wasn't one lever that got pulled, but it was the team. So we were able to pay off that big note, you know, have the right inventory, because we also posted about a 20% increase for the fourth quarter versus the previous year. So it's like incredible. Everything came together fantastic.
Is that on same store sales as well, or is that with the new additions that you guys have had?
That is against the previous year where we had the same stores. We opened a store last year, but it was not, it was inconsequential for Q4. It wasn't a holiday driven store at all.
Yeah, you guys have certainly had a substantial growth since 2019, more than doubling, right?
Yeah, about 2.5 times.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And I'm assuming continued growth is the path forward for you?
It is. As businesses, family businesses grow, you know, there's more and more mouths to feed, so to speak, in each generation. And so in 2019, I was made president and I gathered my brothers together and said, who all wants to stay in? Like, that, you know, that's because that charts what the plans are going forward. And so since everybody decided to stay in, then we had to grow. And so we're going to keep growing. I mean, the idea is we have a number that we're looking to hit and then go beyond that. And it seems attainable, but it's crazy. In 2019, it did not seem attainable.
It's funny, you know, even something as simple as writing that number down in the structure of your meeting structure so that you can always be referring to that number and saying, hey, this is our goal and we have to make the changes in order to make this sort of thing happen, and to see them realize over a course of time. One of the real things that I love about structuring your meetings in that when you have set those goals and you have these things and you're continuously communicating them to the team, that you can start rolling these things out and everybody wants to sort of pull their weight in order to make that happen. And I mean, so much of the work that I do is with family businesses and next generation and all this sort of stuff too. And, you know, the beautiful thing here with where you guys are at is that you are the now generation, essentially, right? You are running the operation, you are taking it over. And, you know, back then you were working within the business, but maybe not full sort of on making every single decision. But as that transitions with these guiding principles that you had back in 2019, you can really make them happen.
Indeed. And one of the things that's different, I think, in our generation versus my dad's generation, a different operation that my brothers and I have really employed is bringing in non-family members into these are the goals, this is what we're working towards. We use 2023 as a year to let the dust settle a bit for our teams. I mean, we were pushing them pretty hard through pandemic and then the growth, you know, the acquisitions and the growth. And we thought everybody needed a deep breath. We knew we had one store on the horizon, which we opened in May. And I mean, it's a fine store. Yeah. That's the one that's not very holiday oriented, right? The third quarter of the year, everybody was like, what are we doing? What are we doing to move towards a goal? Then things got a little bit restless. And then of course we hit Q4, which, you know, we had Uggs and Birkenstocks and Hokas and like all the shoes going out on running and all the shoes going out the door kind of brought focus back in. But for 2024, then it's like, here's what we're doing. We have big plans. And because otherwise people get restless when they don't know, they like being part of a winning organization, right? And they like to see that we're moving things forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so crucial to have them. And I think that's one of our jobs as leaders, isn't it, Josh? Where we're really just always consistently focused and communicating what it is that we're all striving for, to give them that guiding principle. Because I use this, clarity creates confidence and confidence ignites momentum. Yeah. And when we're giving clarity through the conversations that we're having and reiterating all these different things and then, you know, allowing the switches and levers to be pulled, things really start to happen. So I'm excited for you guys as you look into your next year.
Thanks.
Looking back, Josh, obviously lots have gone well for you. What was sort of one of the biggest frustrations that you encountered in the past year?
That's a good question. Because I try to not focus on the frustrations, but I do. Being realistic, feeling like maybe we lost a little bit of the drive and momentum. I felt like maybe giving the team a break was a good thing, but maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
And especially because we've switched from the mentality of entrepreneurship, which is, okay, if we have an idea for a project, then we have to be the one that does it, everything from start to finish. You realize pretty quickly it's hard to grow when you're in charge of everything. So then it's like, here's the seed. I'm going to allow you as the leader of the department to take it and run with it. This is just what I want done. And I think I underestimated my staff. I mean, I really think that's what it was. I thought they needed more of a break than they needed. And so my frustration is that we let some of the momentum and maybe some opportunity pass us by.
So what do you think, like process-wise, when you think about that and you think about the year ahead, what are you going to change in order to set up some process and shift your accountabilities there in order to reinvigorate the team basically around growth and around this sort of stuff? Like what's from a leadership standpoint, what's your goal? How are you going to arrange that?
Yeah, it's making sure that the heads of each department who are responsible for executing have the help that they need. And so then it's supporting them in either whether that's realignment of their team or additional resources, and those resources being people. That ties into also part of the 2024 goal is to streamline more processes through technology, like use a lot instead of manual processes. So it's like I want to support them. If the answer is technology, then let's support them there. If it's people, actual bodies, then let's support them there. So that's how we'll be able to execute, I believe.
What's your meeting structure look like, Josh?
We have weekly heads of department meeting takes place every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 to 4:30. Mm-hmm. And so the heads all meet, and then they each meet with their entire team whenever it makes sense for them throughout the week. So the cadence, the cycle is issues always bubble up, and they know on a weekly basis an issue. So if we have an issue on Wednesday, everybody knows, unless it's like emergency meeting. But you know, for the most part, they know it's going to cycle back around, and next Tuesday it's going to be talked about in the heads of and so on. So that's given quite a bit of calm out there. And then the meeting starts with a 5-minute best thing to happen to you this last week, or share your good news, and then we go into talking about the numbers, you know, the measurables. And then we discuss where's everybody at with the to-dos that they were assigned. And then we go into problem solving. The biggest chunk of the meeting is identifying an issue, discussing it, getting to the root, and then solving it. And that's the biggest chunk. So everything leads towards that.
Do you do quarterly meetings as well, where you take your team offsite or whatever the case is and work through some of the bigger picture stuff? Because on a weekly basis, Some of the business owners out there who are in their business and maybe they only have one door type thing, they'll say something like, oh, there's no need for a meeting. We're here every day and we discuss things. But, you know, for those of us who have multiple doors, multiple locations, whatever the case is, for whatever business that they're running, it's not easy always to spread the communication out and all of that sort of stuff. So how does that get spread out, and how, from a leadership perspective, how are you sure that the communication's getting down to everybody that needs it to get to?
Well, so to your first question, quarterly offsite. And then actually last week we did 2 days for the annual offsite and did a team building thing. They did an escape room, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, just something fun to do, right? Yeah, but the idea is that we get out of the business so that we can work on it, not in it. That's the idea, is that getting away from headquarters on a quarterly basis. So all the weekly meetings take place here at the office, but then we just go off site, get away, take a deep breath, and on a quarterly basis, and then the annual one that just took place. Because we have the consistent meeting structure, then the people are asking, okay, what we've gone to now is the people on the sales floor are now asking the manager, okay, what happened on your, you know, what do we need to know? They expect it. It's not like random meetings that nobody's expecting. It's just a normal cycle. So the people on the sales floor are asking the manager, the manager's asking their regional, the regional's asking the head of sales, and the head of sales, you know, it's the push pull that everybody expects there's going to be communication.
Yeah, I love that. And it just, so many small business owners that I talk to are against meetings. Mm-hmm. But I think there needs to be a certain amount of meetings in order to have structured communication disseminate throughout the entire team. I disagree with meeting just to meet. If you meet with a structure, a process involved that communicates your goals that you're setting at your yearly, that takes it down to the quarterly, that takes it down to the weekly, that takes it down to the daily, if you're having daily stand-ups, one of the ways that we communicate, we don't do yearly, we do monthlies. we used to do quarterly, but we were finding it wasn't really enough. So we do half days every month and keep in touch that way. And then we do our weekly meetings like you do. And then we do Voxer. I don't know if you've ever heard of Voxer or not, but
no.
It's a voice communication app on your phone. And it's like a walkie-talkie channel. And we have that walkie-talkie channel set up so that each of the people that report to me essentially gives me their three prime priorities for the day. So they'll just send me a quick note saying, hey, Pete, you know, and it's all vocal. Basically, it's like, hey, Pete, these are the things I'm working on today. And I will do the same for them. And they'll also tell me whether or not they achieved what they were working on yesterday. So when I don't work in the stores that much, I work out of the home office because I've got my stores, but I'm also coaching a lot and doing other things. At least I know the rhythm that my team is in and what they're working on. And if we're working towards our goals, we'll catch up on the weekly basis and then sit down for a more in-depth once a month. So I think the big thing here, Josh, is, you know, that communication is such a key piece to making your goals happen, right?
Right. And one of the, we made a switch within our organization is rarely do paper memos go out because people don't read unless even less than 140 characters anymore. I mean, thank you, Twitter, X, whatever, you know, but I picked up a book the other day and I was like, whoa, what an experience, right? But it's so much of our communication is digital or either video or audio. So anything that needs to go out, we just do a video message. And it doesn't have to be overproduced, but that way they can hear tone of voice. Because often, you know, I mean, it said when you're reading, you're rarely reading it in the positive, you're reading it in the negative, right? So that's why emails tend to have lots of exclamation points and you got to kind of go over the top. But when they can see my body language, see my eyes, feel excitement if there is or anger, if, you know, they can feel the emotion and I don't have, it just flows. So we've gone to a lot of video communication that way, just a quick little iPhone video and then it easy to share that.
We use an app called Loom for that as well, Loom, and do a ton of video emailing and what have you with Loom. I mean, and I think for the listeners, it doesn't really matter what app you use.
Right.
The idea is you need to provide the communication in a way that they'll absorb it. Mm-hmm. Right?
100%.
And I think, like you said, people don't want to read anymore. No. I mean, if you open an email that's two pages long, I mean, I think you're probably like me a little bit there, Josh. It's like, I don't even want to look at an email that's that long.
Well, I do. I mean, I'll skim through it and then I have to read through it again. And, you know, I'm finding oddly enough that I'm using my email less and less. And I use many other forms of communication much more frequently. So we use Microsoft Teams throughout the stores.
Yep.
And so it's very easy to just video record. It's easy. Like you said, it doesn't matter what tool you use. Just communicate in the way people are going to hear it if they want to hear it, you know.
Yeah. It's like read receipt, you know, the old read receipts that we used to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, Josh, you know, one of the things that I'd like to do is sort of future forecast a little bit. And, you know, looking ahead over the next 2 to 3 years for your job, your position, your business, and your personal life as a business owner, what does success look like for you over the next 2 to 3 years? You know, think about where you're at now and where you want to be, say, 3 years from now as we flip over the calendar into 2027.
Yeah. So by 2027, I see that I will have very little day-to-day interaction at all with our retail division. I'll be solely focusing on product development and wholesale. That's what I like. And then mentoring up the next. I'd like to have somebody who is maybe a non-family member in a leadership role. I think for our business to take the next step that it really needs to take, we need a non-family member in whatever, maybe it's president, maybe it's CFO, maybe it's CEO. I don't know exactly where, but somebody who has more traditional business training to marry in with our family business values and ethic. That's what success looks like to me, is having more non-family members. So, and opportunities for the people that have been with us to rise up. And so, yeah, by 2027, I'd like to have somebody else leading the day-to-day stuff of it. Because as a family, we have blind spots. And how do we uncover those blind spots? And then the flip side to that is, as a family, us being closer as a family, as we pull back from the day-to-day of the business every day.
be able to split out sort of the family dynamic from the business dynamic and that kind of stuff.
And spend more time as a family. Yeah.
Are you familiar with Kolbe, Josh?
Yeah. You and I talked about that a little bit. Yeah.
I thought we did. I wasn't sure whether we did or not.
Yeah. I find it intriguing. Yeah.
I think it might be interesting for you to dig into Kolbe a little bit with your executive team and just kind of overlay, because some of the things that you're missing or you feel that you're missing may be there within, you know, some of the decision-making and all of that sort of, because Kolbe is such a great tool for understanding how people make decisions and building teams and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of times there's hidden gems already within our existing team that we don't know how, or we don't know, or we haven't given opportunity to be a part of a team in a way that they're maybe unused to.
Right. And you know, what I like about it, because I now it's triggering something in my mind, is so often we have these things that we say, these aren't blind spots. They're things right in our face. Like, we don't talk about this with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Because that's a trigger issue that let's just, so we circumvent the person, you know, they're great, but we circumvent because it's, but the flip side of that is a positive of, hey, this is perfectly tailored for so-and-so. Like, this is one of their strengths. Let's have them flourish. And there's two books for me. Like, I like talent development. I've always liked coaching. I mean, I've had jobs. This is like the last 3 or 4 years is the only time in the previous 20 that I haven't done any coaching or teaching of some degree, right? I'm not trained in any way, but I just love it. And I see these two books. One of them is called Bet on Talent. Was phenomenal. The title sort of says it, but it just reinforces if you have a great culture and you find somebody that is talented and fits it, pay them, reward them, and whatever reward looks like, and have them go. So there's the Cliff Notes versions of it, and then cut them free and let them do their thing.
Yeah, love that. I've not read that one. I'll pick it up.
It's a good one. And then the second one is called The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, which is taken off of Gary Chapman's book, you know, The Five Love Languages in a Relationship, but talking about appreciation and not as a motivational tool or a way to manipulate people, but to genuinely appreciate them. And so I like this Kolbe thing, because then you're talking to a person like on a personal level, like it's who they are, how they make decisions. And then when we really appreciate them, then all of a sudden you have a team that can just do things. So I feel like in order to achieve my 2027 goal, those are the big thought process things that are floating around in my head. Like, it has to be the right people. Cause when we turn over our family business day to day to somebody that's not us, then that person has to be on board, but they also have to get the fulfillment and appreciation. And then, what I would do is I would just focus on that, you know, product and those people things on a high level. That to me is what success would look like.
That's awesome. What about personally?
Ooh, personally. Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got this philosophy, Josh, that we get into business as business owners. We get into business to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And we feel that if we're a business owner, we're going to end up having a better life down the road. And what I see a lot of times is that business owners get stuck into working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, you know, going hard at it because they had to get things rolling. But even once things are going well, they're not actually necessarily living a better life or hitting all those areas that they actually thought they could hit if they weren't working for somebody else. So what's maybe one or two of the things personally that you would like your business to give you over the next few years, as opposed to where it's at right now?
The business can't give me anything that I really don't already have. I mean, we've been very fortunate.
Good
for you. By nature, we're pretty frugal. I mean, my grandparents as immigrants, like my grandmother would roll up the adding machine tape, finish it, roll it back up and run it back through. Like, we recycled before recycling it was even a thing. I don't want for anything. Like, honestly, it's really having the freedom of the time and not feeling guilty. I actually have the time now. So really it's an internal thing that it's okay for me to just not be doing. It's okay to not be working either in the business or on the business. I can go to the gym at 3 p.m. and just call that a day. It's okay. And that's really, so that's an internal guilt thing, really. So that's really what it is.
That's very common for a lot of business owners, Josh.
Okay.
You know, and to grant yourself the permission to, you know, be okay with that, I think is a big understanding that once you've come to that, it's great, but there are so many people that haven't come to that yet. And I think it's really interesting to allow yourself permission. We allow other people permission to take holidays, to take time, to do whatever, but we don't often allow ourselves that. It's an interesting thing as a business owner. I see it a lot.
Yeah. And I think it's because you worry, well, if I'm not engaged, then did I miss a,
right,
a warning sign down the way or an opportunity? You know, did I miss something? And so if a missed opportunity, well, you know, if I would have been more focused on the business and not taking care of myself, I might have seen it. And that's the fear.
Yeah, I think so. And but it doesn't,
at least for me,
doesn't sort of, yeah, doesn't the idea around the structures that you've put in place, those processes that you've put in place, having the right people in that place, doesn't that begin as you start feeling the confidence in your process and in your account, in the people that you have working with you, doesn't that sort of start to bring those feelings to the forefront where it's like, I can actually have some time and go away on a vacation and do all this sort of stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that even the ability to just put this out there is a big leap from where it was even, you know, several, just a couple of years ago. So clearly this is something that is working towards an end goal. And I do think you're right. The best, having people you can count on, you have more people looking out. If I'm the only guy on the watchtower, it's far better to have 10 people on the watchtower with me, you know, that, and that's the idea, is that is making sure that the right people on the watchtower with me, and then I don't have to be the only one.
I want to roll back just a little bit before we call it an episode here, Josh. But, you know, this idea of bringing in, let's call him or her, an outsider into the business to help you run. How are you? What's your plan for ensuring a cultural fit and ensuring sort of that right person? Have you given some of that some thought as you're not only just bringing in a new person within line of your accountability chart, but you're bringing in a new person that potentially could be the leader of running and in charge, not just appointed, but in charge of doing all of this sort of stuff? And how are you sort of talking with the family and getting buy-in on the type of person that you need for this position?
Every other week we meet to talk about the finances of the business and just shareholder / family business meeting, about every other week. And we try to not talk about specific issues in the business, but looking long range. And so this is a topic that's been for about a year, something we've been discussing. And the idea, you know, everybody that we hire gets started, all of our interview questions are based around our 8 core values. And so we make sure that through that interview process, we're uncovering, does this person, and we've struggled. We've been looking for a bookkeeper for 4 months, and we need it to be a culture fit because I'm being honest, we hired somebody that had a couple of yellow flags that were probably more orange than yellow, closer to red, but we just, we broke our cardinal rules. And we broke our own rules because of desperation. But that was a lesson to us. It goes, okay, let's not. So everything is looking good in that regard. But using that experience to say we can't do it for an even bigger position, we've got to ensure that the cultural fit. So I don't know. You know, I know what needs to be done, and I'll probably seek some counsel from people that are far wiser than me that may have gone through this. I have a business network group that I'm a part of, and this is the type of thing that they love to help with because they're family businesses that have then turned into, hey, we're just a family business office. The day-to-day is run by non-family members. And so I'll seek advice from people that have more wisdom than me because I've seen what happens when we compromise.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway, Josh. And I think I call them non-negotiables.
Yeah.
You know, you said your list of 8, and you know, whatever they are, you know, having these non-negotiables, I mean, just even saying those words, they're non-negotiable, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we just can't do this if it doesn't happen within this framework. And the only time you change a non-negotiable is when, you know, something has really changed within the business that warrants it irrelevant anymore. outside of that, it continues to be relevant for, you know, most non-negotiables never get changed, because that's just the way, that's the culture of the business, right?
Yeah. But we have to be adept enough to see if a person is kind of bluffing their way through. You know, I mean, somebody's gonna be bright enough if they're in the position of president or above, you know, anything above a VP level, even a VP level, really, in a bigger business, they're going to be adept enough in the conversations to know where we're going with the questions. And so they can, you know, I mean, there's a famous book out there, you know, what happens when you want to hire an eagle, but you end up hiring a turkey or something along those lines. I think it, you know, but that thought always, you know, sticks with me. Like, you think you're getting somebody because they're good at interviewing. They know what you're driving towards and are giving you the answers you want to hear. So how do you, that it's ensuring that they're not doing that to us. That'll be the trick. But there's wise people out there that are willing to help, and we'll rely on them.
There are. Yeah. And you know, there's a great book out there called Who Not How, and it's by Dan Sullivan and Dean Jackson. And the idea behind that one really is, you don't need to know how to do everything. You just need to know who can help you get there.
True fact.
It's been great having you here on the Business Owner Breakthrough Podcast. I really appreciate our time together. Appreciate you spending some time with me. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you again at one of the next NSRA events or another shoe show down the road as we carry on our shoe duties, right?
Right. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the opportunity today. It was great chatting with you, and hope there's some nuggets in there that can help others. So
thanks, Josh. Make it a great day.
You too. Take care.
An Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.